It's The Bill Murphy Show, a daily one-on-one 30-minute interview featuring people from all walks of life. Available daily at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
With another edition of Music Friday. Coming to you a day late, though, so I guess we can call it Music Saturday. This edition being posted on Saturday, February 5th, 2011. Thanks for listening. Brought to you as usual by Lulu's Baycheck. Hey, Lulu's has got more live original local music for you, South Floridians, this coming Wednesday night. Check out two more great bands. They've also got those world-famous fishbowl drinks and fresh Florida seafood located in Beach Place on A1A in the heart of Fort Lauderdale Beach. Happy to have them as a sponsor of the show. All right, on this edition of Music Friday, it's a little confusing, so I'm going to try to explain it all to the listeners what's going on. We have two guests today who I'm happy to have on with me. I think we're like sort of having California and the New England area represented at the same time. We also have a couple of different bands represented, but we're focusing mostly on Elixir on Mute, an exciting band that features two of my two guests today, Jordan Ferreira and Thomas Pridgen. And how are you, Jordan?
I'm good. What's going on, man?
And the crazy guy in the background is Thomas Pridgen. What's up, buddy?
Connecticut, so I feel like I'm in New England, too.
Yeah. Now, Thomas, some of the listeners may be familiar as the former fantastic virtuoso drummer from Mars Volta, and Jordan is as much of a virtuoso himself on the guitar and vocals, and we're going to take a listen to some music today. So we've got to get a lot of information out of these guys in a little bit of time, because one of our tunes is like 8 minutes long, so we only have limited time to speak to these guys. So Elixir on Mute, let's start with Jordan. Let's talk about how you two got hooked up to get this this project going, Elixir on Mute.
I was going to California for the NAMM show, and I was just planning on going to just check shit out, and it was just weird the way it happened, because I was kind of burnt out on the band that I was, you know, playing in, and I just bumped into Thomas. He was outside, like the, what do you call it, the Sabian Live thing.
He's probably putting on a show there at NAMM at the time, probably.
Sabian Live. I was at Zildjian Live.
Ah.
Zildjian Live? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what it was.
And, let's not get the sponsors confused, for crying out loud.
So I was there, and I asked him if he'd want to play on a record, and he said yes. And that's pretty much how it started. It was pretty ridiculous.
That must have been a very exciting moment for you to know that he was going to be part of your project.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I saw him in La Volta in 2008, and that's one of my favorite shows that I can really, really remember very clearly. So that was definitely just amazing.
Now, Thomas, as we're going to hear when we listen to some of this music here in a couple of minutes, this is proof that, like, progressive rock, and I mean, we're talking about progressive rock on a very high level, is alive and well. Is that what attracted you mostly to working with Jordan, was to be doing some complicated time signatures and real advanced progressive music like it is?
When I met Jordan, I honestly didn't know what kind of music we were doing. I just knew that Jordan had a great personality. He walked up to me, he's like, "You want to play on my record?" And I was like, "Fuck yeah!"
Awesome.
Like, I just like the way he just came up to me and asked me would I play on a record, and I didn't know what the music was sounding like. And then when he started sending me all the tracks, that's when I got all psyched. And I don't know, man. I'm really amped on working with Jordan, because he does he plays the shit out the guitar and he writes badass songs. And I was really intrigued because he had a lot of the drumming on the record program before I actually played on it.
Wow.
So it was kind of cool to go and try to play some of those drum parts that he programmed. And, you know, it's like some shit is like what goes by one time, or maybe a three-bar section, and the next section is like five, and I was in the studio counting. And I don't know, I'm really into challenges, so I was ready for the shit.
Well, and I could tell that your sound, not only your playing, but the sound of your drums. I'm a big fan of drummers. My younger brother's a pretty accomplished drummer himself, and I'm a big fan of producing drum sounds and listening to great drums, and you've got some of the greatest, the most killer sounding drums I've heard. And
man, those are those damn Jazz DW sets, and that's actually, man, that studio we recorded at Skyline in Oakland, they get a fucking ridiculous ass drum sound, period. So it was like,
they sound good.
That was spot, man. That shit was bleeding all over the drums, man. Just period. All over.
Well, at this point, we're talking about it and teasing the listener, so let's go ahead and listen to some of it. This is Elixir on Mute. We're going to listen to We Own the Night, and then we'll tell you the details on the record and where you can get it, all the iTunes details and all that. It's Music Friday with Elixir on Mute. Check this out. It's We Own the Night.
I am so.
We Own the Night from Elixir on Mute. It's Music Friday in the Bill Murphy Show, and we've got two of the members of the band Elixir on Mute on the show with us. Jordan Ferreira with the guitar and vocals on that, and Thomas Pridgen with the incredible drum work on that. Now, boys, I need to talk to you a little bit about how progressive this sounds, and I got to be honest with you, recently in this show with some of the guests that I've had, I wasn't really that aware how alive and well progressive music is. And I mean, we're talking about, like, I don't know, resurrecting music that came from the mid-70s that was way underground that people didn't really know about in mainstream. And I guess it's sort of that kind of situation now. Where, how do you know that there's an audience out there for this kind of music? And
make the audience, man. It's like the 70s, man. You make your own audience, dude. You make everything. Nothing is there. You make it happen.
Right.
And we're making it happen by playing the shit. People like you like it. Some other people like it, and fuck, we do shows. People come, and they, you know, bring other people who start to like it, and it's a growing thing. And I think that's the cool thing about doing this type of music is that we're not looking for people to already like it.
Right, right, right. You're kind of expanding their horizons for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't go play the drums for people to like it. I play the drums, and well, damn, that shit's gonna be sick. Like, I don't know. I think about myself a lot. I'm pretty selfish when it comes to playing drums.
Now, Jordan,
that's good. I like that.
Yeah, it's a very, very cool explanation of that. Jordan, talk to me about the writing on this. Where did your influences come from? And I know you're a hell of a lot younger than I am, so I'm wondering how you got turned on to this genre of music in the first place.
Dude, it started when I was kind of like 11, 12-ish. Kind of, I was touring in Europe. I was doing this like month tour in Europe, and I was just into like the kind of the more standard rock thing, and the guitar player, and the other guitar player in the band that I was playing with, he just made me a copy of like 15 records, and it was like all the craziest, like Paco de Lucia, and it was Dream Theater, and it was just anything that he had that he thought would, you know, be really cool, and it was really crazy for me to hear. So that's where I first heard it, and I was like blown away.
I'm wondering, since it's so complicated and there's so many different directions that the music goes, do you chart it out? Do you actually write all this stuff down on sheet music in the writing process, or is it just sort of explained with your instruments with the guys?
Well, I'm just learning how to read music now.
Okay.
Especially during the making of the record, it was kind of weird to get all the parts out, especially because it's some of the crazier songs. It's kind of, you know, pretty wild shit, but I didn't write it out or anything. Thomas just figured it out for the most part on his own.
I totally did my homework in the studio and wrote every bar out. I promise you I did. On a big chalkboard.
And, we had a board, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Jordan writes in a way where I don't watch him write the music and shit, but just from playing it, that shit is hella hard to play, much less write out and like try to play written out. Like, I don't know, you have to be some super virtuoso reader, you know. It's just I think my experience having to deal with situations where I had to learn how to make things happen, as far as like, you know, learning a part, like I couldn't be a crybaby and say I never did this before.
Right.
Like, this is hard, like I had to do it. It just made it, you know, I just went through it. I was like, man, I got a week of crazy songs, fuck it, I gotta finish these songs. And Jordan came with these fucking crazy ass songs. And somehow, some way, we finished it. And I don't know, I'm really proud of this record. I can't even lie to you. I tell drummers, they'll be like, man, what is the last thing you do? I'm like, I did the Memorial thing, but go check out that goddamn Elixir on Mute album. I played the fuck out the drums on that shit. Like, he wrote some shit that made me play my ass off, and I'm really proud of that shit.
Yeah, well, we're gonna talk about Memorials as well. I've saved a section of this interview at near the end for a little talk about Memorials, and I'm going to throw a surprise at you. But you sound to me, Thomas, like one of those people that's, when you're presented with a challenge like this, like an 8-minute progressive song that has five different sections in it, that fires you up. I mean, the challenge is what makes you play better and gets you going.
I mean, it's either do this or, you know, play some bullshit. And I'd rather play this, and I'd rather, you know, have people throw crazy shit at me than be, you know, playing bullshit. And, you know, I'm kind of really juiced the fact that drummers, like, are really excited about what I'm doing. So it makes me go hella harder. So when this fool throws these crazy songs at me, I'm just like, oh, yeah, man, all these drummers are talking this shit. I'm about to do this fucking crazy shit with this fool. You know, it gives me pumped up. Like, exactly what you're saying. It totally gets me pumped up. And I like Jordan. Like, I like his whole personality. And, like, just, like, he's like, he's so young and small and shit. You don't expect him to have this crazy-ass ability to play the fuck out the guitar. And he's like, he murders it. So it's like, I like that dude. So it's easy for me to have fun with him.
We're talking with Thomas Pridgen and Jordan Ferreira from Elixir on Mute. You can check out End of Sky. It was released in September 2010, so it's still very new and being turned on to people every day. So you can check that out at iTunes now. We're going to get into a nice, long journey of a song here. This one is called Saints. Jordan, talk to me a little bit about what Saints is, what the whole premise of this song is that we're going to listen to now.
Basically, the whole record, especially lyric-wise, is like, it's kind of like automatic writing, you know, especially like after I got the okay from like Thomas that, you know, he was actually wanted to play on it, and he heard the songs and stuff. Well, he heard some of the songs, like the first two or whatever that I sent him. I really wanted to like write as quickly as I could, make sure it was good, but write as quickly as I could so that I could, you know, so I wouldn't forget about it. I didn't want to, like, you know, spend 6 months on it and then have him like forget about it. You know?
Wow, wow.
So I just wanted to get in there, and I wanted to make sure it was good, obviously, but I just wanted to write it as quickly as I could. So the whole record took like 2 weeks for me to write and program and, you know, get the demos of anyway.
That's amazing, so, and I think when people hear this song now, they're gonna agree with me that kind of makes you a little bit of a freak if you wrote all this stuff in less than 2 weeks, man. It's just some virtuoso stuff going on here.
No, thank you, dude.
Totally goddamn freak.
it was actually cool because I think that's, in a lot of ways, that's the really cool thing about the CD is that, like, it was the perfect chance to take a hold of, like, 2 weeks and just be like, fuck it, I'm gonna write the craziest, coolest shit I can possibly come up with right now. And I'm gonna send it to, you know, one of my favorite drummers and see what happens. I had no idea what was gonna happen, you know. So it was cool. I think that was the fun thing about the CD.
And here it is. This is Saints from End of Sky, Elixir on Mute on Music Friday. Wow, I'm exhausted after listening to that track. That's Saints from Elixir on Mute. The record is called End of Sky. You can check it out on iTunes, and there's six or seven other tracks on there that'll also blow you away. That is the fine work of my two guests today, Jordan Ferreira and Thomas Pridgen, who are talking to us from two different locations, both on cell phone from various parts of the country. And Jordan, did the record come out after you had gotten Thomas? I'm sure you had an idea in your head of what it was going to sound like. And did it meet your expectations once you were done recording of what you had in your head? Or
I didn't know. I mean, it exceeded it for sure. Cause
wow.
I was just so focused on just working as hard as I possibly could on like getting like my parts ready and like. I was just focused on getting it good. I wasn't even thinking about, you know, what exactly it would sound like. But it came out like, I think it came out amazing. Especially like, just the guy we got to mix it, the studio that we recorded drums at, just everything kind of snowballed and it came out amazing. I'm really happy with it.
Now, just a little detail for me. I'm curious, as an engineer and producer myself, is how much time did you spend programming those drums before Thomas came in and played them live? That must have been a very tedious project there.
Yeah, that went along with the writing, basically. Like, I had my friend Rob Leonardo, who's a very, very good drummer and engineer. He was in the studio with me. And I basically just showed him the beginning riffs of the song, and he programmed the beats, and then I'd record it with, you know, his playing.
Gotcha.
And then we just move on. So that's pretty much how the whole record went. So it was pretty crazy. It was 2 weeks to program everything.
And some of it, am I hearing it correctly? Thomas, we've got alternating measures of different time signatures. I mean, you've got like, what, 6/8 going to 7/8 or 8/8 going to 7/8 back and forth?
It's way more dramatic than that. It's more like one bar happens three times, the other bar happens once, another bar will happen another time. Like, basically, since the shit was so crazy in the way Jordan wrote the record, it was like I'm sitting there counting how many times certain things go by. I'm like, oh, that only happened three times. And then next one will go one time, and then it'll repeat, and then do the third time again, and then do two times. And I'm sitting there like, this shit makes no sense. And I was getting frustrated. And next thing you know, they end up bringing me some goddamn fried fish, and I did that shit. This is fucking weird, man.
It sounds like there was no shortage of comic relief in the studio with you guys there, Jordan. Did Thomas constantly keep you guys laughing?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun, definitely.
Jordan is all laid back, but that shit was crazy.
Yeah, you know, it's strange. I was going to sort of say that, Thomas. I don't really hear a lot of Jordan's personality in this music. Is there a side of him that not a lot of people see?
No, the personality of him is in the music. It's just on the phone right now. Jordan is chillaxing. That should be. On the record, he's murdering. I don't know if he's listening to all that guitar shit, but he's murdering on the record.
Well,
that's his personality. He's a murderer. He's just a silent killer.
I just say come see a live show, because that's really the outlet. That's like my one outlet. And especially recording in live shows, those are really, that's it for me. Like, that's all I'm interested in, you know, really going for. So I would say that's probably what you're hearing. Like right now, I'm just kind of, it's like an interview. It's really, really cool. But, you know, that's what I live for, is really playing live and like working with Thomas and people like that.
Well, you can tell by listening to the music. That's Elixir on Mute. You can contact them and become part of their legion and follow what they're doing any number of ways. The usual suspects, the MySpaces, the Facebooks, Reverb Nation, all of that. You can get them on iTunes. End of Sky is the name of the release that has the tunes we played for you, and there's a whole lot more for you to hear. So that is Elixir on Mute. What a treat. Thanks again, guys. I appreciate it. But before I let you guys go, I want to also bring up the fact that Thomas Pridgen is also involved in a new project and is like touring and playing as we speak with a band called Memorials, along with Vivica Hawkins on vocals. Now, this is another sort of new hybrid of genres going on here. Talk a little bit, Thomas, about Memorials and how that got started. I'm sure this is something you're also very excited about.
I'm fucking juiced. We're fucking on the road right now. The band got started because of the split with the Mars Volta. I totally want to play high-energy music. And we started recording in December of 2009. I left Mars in October or some shit, so after that I immediately got home and started planning on fucking doing it again on a crazier level, And now we're doing it. We're out. It's me, Nick, and Viv, and John Richard, and Randy Amata, and a slew of people helping us. And we're fucking trying to take over the world, really.
That sounds awesome. Hey, you guys, I really appreciate you coming on. I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to close the show off with a little musical surprise from the memorials here. We've been talking to Jordan Ferreira and Thomas Pridgen from Elixir on Mute, and just as a little exclamation point at the end of this thing, we're going to play something from memorials. Now, you can get this. People can pick up the single We Go to War on iTunes. Tell me again when the rest of that project is coming out. That's just weeks away, right?
What happened was we had a mix-up with the label. They were supposed to put the shit out January 18th, and we left on tour January 18th, so I guess it was like God sent that it didn't come out on digital download because we're selling a shitload of these CDs at the shows.
Okay.
So the actual digital copy for everybody who wants to download the shit offline will be out on February 15th, which is next Tuesday after this one coming up. And it's there, and the record will be there, and the art will be there. And if you want, you can hit us up, and we can send you physical copies so you can have a jewel case and be able to fucking put it with the rest of the albums you really like.
Beautiful. And we will post the links on the homepage for this show so that people can find out where to get that stuff. Now, then, rather than let them hear We Go to War, which is the single you can pick up on iTunes, we'll just suggest that people do that. And instead, I'm going to tease them with a little cover tune that you guys have online that I'm a big fan of. And I pulled it out. I had to hear this. What inspired you to record 1979 by Smashing Pumpkins? What a great piece of music, and what a solid groove you've got on this one.
Man, me and Nick, we were, we know how the Mars Volta fans are, and they want shit when they want it. So we wanted to like do like some covers so we can tease people and let them know that we were a legit band and they could hear us play songs that people like. We totally like those songs. They come on the radio, and I was born in 83, so we have no choice but like 90s rock. So we just went and been like, what fucking songs do we want to do? And we just came up with these songs and we did them. And, you know, I like the Smashing Pumpkins. A big fan of Jimmy Chamberlain and shit. And I was like, let's do that fucking song. It's a cool song.
All right, we're going to close off the show with this. It's a treat, 1979. Thanks, Jordan and Thomas, for being on the show with me today. I'll let you guys get on the road.
I got to say thank you so much to Roy for setting this up from Pick the Band, because Pick the Band is the shit. If you guys get a chance, check the site out. It's a fan-run label. Set up by this guy, Roy. He's the man. He's the one who set this up. So
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I completely forgot to mention Roy and Pick the Band, who, of course, is great friends of the show. And also that the radio station that that Pick the Band has is on live365.com. It's WPTB. So you can check that out and actually hear some of the music from Pick the Band streamed on that station as well. So appreciate the hookup, Roy. And I've had a lot of fun with you guys, Jordan and Thomas. Thanks again. And we're going to close this off with 1979. Take care, boys.
Happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday,
man.
Thank you, dude. See you, man.
All right, you guys. Take care.
Yeah, thank you, though.
1979 from the Memorials. Music Friday, featuring Thomas Pridgen on drums, who was our guest today, who is also part of Elixir on Mute with Jordan Ferreira, my other guest today. We appreciate both guys coming on and sharing the music from both bands. You can check out Memorial's single, We Go to War. It's available on iTunes now. And as Thomas was mentioning, their stuff is going to be available in its entirety, the record that they're selling on tour right now, in just a matter of weeks. So the various links for both bands are there for you on the homepage for you to go out and check out those guys if you like what you heard. And we appreciate both guys coming on today and sharing this stuff with us on the show. Tune in again on Monday for another brand new edition of Bill Murphy Show right here. And, of course, Music Friday every Friday. Don't forget live original local music for South Floridians Wednesday night at Lulu's Bait Shack, Fort Lauderdale Beach. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, everybody. And thanks for tuning in and sharing the show with your friends. Catch you next time.
Log on each weekday for another edition of the Bill Murphy Show at BillMurphyShow.com. If you'd like to be a guest, send an email to Murph@BillMurphyShow.com. That's M-U-R-P-H at BillMurphyShow.com. A Murphonics Media Production.